This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Pick a Tale,
and a big thank you to the team of Deluxe Diner for their support in bringing you some stories today, not just from me, but from Sheila as well. So, my word, everybody's had Easter eggs? Yes. And now we're all back at school. But we've got some funny little stories, and ones that you might remember from way back when you were very little. I'm not quite sure. But if you're sitting comfortably, well, then we can begin. This is a very funny little story between Rabbit and Monkey. Now, Monkey and Rabbit were talking. Rabbit twitched his nose. Can you twitch your nose? Monkey scratched his back. Can you scratch your back? Rabbit twitched his ear. Monkey scratched his leg. Then Rabbit twitched his other ear. And Monkey scratched his head. Would you stop that twitching, said Monkey. It's a very bad habit. Well, bad habits, well, said Rabbit rather indignantly. Talk about bad habits, just look at you. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Now that certainly is a bad habit. Well, you can imagine, can't you? Here are Rabbit and Monkey opposite each other. Well, I could easily stop if I wanted to, said the Monkey. Well, so could I, said the Rabbit. Well, we'll see about that, said Monkey. Let's have a contest. The first person to scratch or twitch loses, beginning when I say go. All right. Rabbit sat very still. Monkey sat very still. No one was allowed to scratch. No one was allowed to twitch. Oh my goodness, it was so hard to sit so still. Why don't we tell a story, said Rabbit. I'll tell you what happened yesterday. Rabbit began to talk. Yesterday I walked by the marsh and mosquitoes came after me. One hit me here. Rabbit twitched his nose to show where he was bitten. One bit me here. And Rabbit twitched his ear. Another bit me here. Rabbit twitched his other ear. And here and here and here until Rabbit was twitching like crazy.
Wait a minute, said Monkey.
Wait, I think it's my turn to tell a story. Yesterday I was walking in town and a little boy threw a rock at me. Not very nice. He hit me here. A monkey scratched his back. He hit me there. A monkey scratched his leg. He hit me here. A monkey scratched his head. And here and here and here. Until he was scratching all over.
Ah, I give up, said Rabbit. Ah, me too, said Monkey. And they started to laugh. They laughed and they laughed and they laughed and said, oh, well, we're friends. It's very hard to break a bad habit. So why shall we worry? Let's just scratch and scratch and laugh and enjoy ourselves. And that's exactly what they did.
Thank you for listening to that sweet little story. It actually is quite an old one and comes from a country quite a long way away from here. It's part of an African selection. So I hope you enjoyed it. Well, now, what is in store for you? Here's another one. Well, we all know wonderful stories by Margaret Mahe, don't we? And this one is one of my favourites because she uses such tremendous words. Can you say horrendous hullabaloo? I'm sure you can. It's all about a pirate. His name's Peregrine. But it also has a very important person in it. A very cheerful old lady. There was once a cheerful old woman who kept house for her nephew, Peregrine, a pirate by profession. Every morning she put on her pirate pinafore, poured out Peregrine's ration of rum, picked up his socks, petted his parrot, and worked all day keeping everything shipshape. Meanwhile, her pirate nephew went out to parties every night with his friends, talking about wonderful old stories. He never thought to ask his aunt at all. Not even his parrot went. Whenever she sort of said, "I'd like to come and hear your stories with your friends, and I could look after the parrot," he said, "Oh no, it's just a lot of us pirates talking about the past. The hullabaloo is horrendous." "Oh, but I like a horrendous hullabaloo," said the auntie. "And so does parrot. Well, when I come home from sea again, I'll remember to take you," said Peregrine, looking quite proud and practical and piratical. "And if I can, I'll make sure other people bring their aunts to the parrot party, kind of piratical, well, you know, whatever you want to call it." Auntie wasn't very sure about all this. "I didn't know you were thinking about going to sea again. What will happen about the parrot? He might have to stay here." "Oh, well." And then they just forgot about the parties. Auntie hadn't an thought at all about them for such a long time because Peregrine was away pirating. She never really knew what he did because she thought pirates were quite out of date now. To keep herself busy, she would make lovely, wonderful food, like rumble pumpkins, which the parrot loved. He hung upside down on his potted plant and looked at her greedily with his beak waiting for a peck. Now, Peregrine had been away a long time. An aunt had wondered, "Oh, it's very quiet. I think I might hold my own pirate party." So all that night and the next day, she got out lots of pirating things that she found in a chest. She put on a party pirate dress and a pinafore with lots of pirates on, and the parrots squawked all around saying how wonderful. She did extra 3 days of baking, and then she said, "Right, I'm going to send out invitations to everyone along the seafront and see if they'd like to come to one of my pirate parties." At 7:30, she called to the parrot, "You'll have to wake up the whole town by going, 'Pretty Polly, Pretty Polly, Pretty Polly, there's a pirate, there's a pirate, there's a pirate party.'" Well, the parrot thought that was wonderful and was very good at practicing. And then Aunt had an idea. "Let's have a big horrendous hullabaloo at the same time." She opened the windows of her house. The sea smelt beautiful. And she sent out the invitations. The parrot went up and down, and everybody started to come out of their houses. And just at that very same time, there was a ship in the harbour. "My word," she said, "is that Peregrine's ship? Is he coming home? Oh, well, he's just in time for a great rumble bumping of a wonderful pirate party." But the ship couldn't believe its eyes. There was the parrot flying around, and then he flew across the water and said, "It's a pirate parakeet party. Come along, pirate parakeet party. It's a horrendous hullabaloo." Well, the pirates on the ship were amazed.
"We're the only ones that have parties. What's going on, Peregrine?"
"Oh, I think it's my aunt. I think she might have got a bit bored while I've been away." But the other people didn't mind. What they could smell was passion fruit and pineapples, beautiful biscuits, and everybody dressed up, and they all tumbled out into the street, laughing and joking. Well, the pirates had to get into their little boat and row as hard as they could, just in case they missed out. "Come on in," said the aunt. "We're having a wonderful hullabaloo." The parrot crackled loudly. "Come on, come on in. There's lots of food for pirates as well." Well, Peregrine was not that happy, but actually, when he got inside, there were people playing the violin, people dancing, people laughing. There was no real stories about pirates, but who cared? Pirates, well, there weren't many of them left anyway, but having parties was a great idea. I think we should do this every year. Oh, what about once a month?
I don't think that's possible, said Auntie, who was feeling rather tired after 3 days of cooking and then all the dressing up and then training the parrot. But never mind.
Oh, she said, I think it's time for a little nap. Oh.
Peregrine looked around the house, saw all the beautiful food left over that his aunt had made, and thought, I should have invited her a long time ago. There's nothing like a really good party. Perhaps next time we could have it on the ship. But that was a long way away, because Peregrine thought, people need to remember about pirates that we're just funny old fellows with patches on our eyes and we sing lots of songs and we're always looking for treasure that we never find. He looked out across the sea and the moon began to settle. Yes, I think we could have the next party on my ship. What do you think, Parrot? But Parrot was asleep as well. How about, and then he felt a bit tired. He had been at sea all day. But what he hadn't told his aunt was he'd just been round the harbour. He hadn't been out far at all. Because, you see, nobody really knows what a pirate is anymore. But you know what a pirate is, don't you? Yes, I'm sure you do. And I bet you enjoy dressing up as one as well. So next time, maybe you could have a Haribablu tremendous party. Thanks for listening to that Pickertail story today. Well, because I told the story about the pirate, it reminded me of a story I wrote a long time ago. In fact, it's getting up to being a birthday for this book called Midnight at the Lighthouse. Margaret Scott did the paintings for me, and it's available in just about every library. But I thought you'd like to hear it because it has a very funny ending. It was a cold, blustery day, and Thomas watched the clouds from Auntie Jenny's window. They raced across the sky. He wanted them to slow down so he could paint them and their funny shapes. Thomas had been painting his favourite things all afternoon. He liked to paint the sea. He liked to paint rocks. He liked to paint helicopters, which he flew every night in his dreams. He liked to paint everything. Thomas looked out of the window. What he really wanted to see was the lighthouse at the end of Auntie Jenny's road. He'd been promised a night trip for ages. He wanted to visit the lighthouse and see its giant beam of light. He waited. While he waited, Thomas looked out the window. He wanted to smell the sea, even though he was a long way away. He opened it and the wild wind blew inside. It spun the curtains round. It whistled under his arms, lifting him off his chair. It even blew his paintings out, off the table and into the air. Round and round they twisted, spinning faster and faster. My helicopter's flying, he said when he saw his picture, and it even whirled around Thomas. Auntie Jenny rushed into the room to see the paintings. Some flew right outside and the others onto the floor. The ones outside went higher and higher. They went over the treetops, across the road. She watched them as they disappeared and quickly shut the window. Thomas watched as one wayward painting floated down to stick like glue to a hydrangea bush. Oh, I could paint more sea pictures tomorrow, thought Thomas. What colour shall I paint the sea at night? He looked out of Auntie Jenny's window. Sometimes the sea was dark and grey and white. He looked again. What colour was it now? Silver with ribbons of bright moonlight. Auntie Jenny came back with a jacket. I think it's time to see the lighthouse, she whispered. Oh, is it midnight at the sea? Cried Thomas. No, it's only 6 o'clock, laughed Auntie Jenny. Can we go in the old car, asked Thomas, and be lighthouse keepers with head torches? Well, we could take Grandpa's old car and his old Morse code book that sends messages. Oh, could I take my pirate's hat and my treasure maps? Thomas began to sing his song as they climbed into the car with all sorts of wonderful treasures. I'm a big ship leaping into the waves. I'm strong and tough, I'm tall and brave. The wind blows me this way and that. It pushes me forward and back. The wind blows seagulls up to the sky. The clouds turn black and I sail by. I'm a big ship leaping into the waves. I'm strong and tough, I'm tall and brave. High in the air the seagulls scream. Rocks ahead, the lighthouse beams. Thomas was so happy. Auntie Jenny drove down the coast road past the giant tree where the old house once stood. Look, it's a helicopter tree, pointed Thomas, as the sycamores flew out. Suddenly the wind whistled around the car and they stuck, tossing around the windows, pitter-patter, pitter-patter, hitting the windscreen. Oh, they do look like helicopters' wings. And the wipers had to wipe them away. Wow, the sea sounded very close now, almost scary. Auntie Jenny turned off the engine and the car headlights picked out the lighthouse beam. But when they tried to open the car door, the wind said no. Whoosh. It was very rough out at sea. The wind even began to rock the car, and Thomas felt just a little bit nervous. The darkness had come quicker than he thought. Across the waves, and as the light began to fade, will the lighthouse see us? Said Thomas, hopefully, wondering. Yes, but we need to drive a bit closer, I think, she said. Car took them closer, closer to the sea's edge as well. Suddenly they were bathed in a pool of light as the lighthouse spun round. But out at sea, a calm stillness crept up like a midnight cat out on the prowl. Around an old shipwreck, the waves swirled in and out. The waves licked the wood of the old wreck and the ghost of a ship's cat hunted for rats. The wind began to die away. Tiny pebbles running up and down over themselves tried to escape the giant waves. Thomas waited for the giant yellow bean to find them again. It actually made his hair stand on end and a bit of a trickle down his spine. I think it's time to go now, said Auntie Jenny. She turned the key, but nothing happened. Thomas wanted her to turn the car lights on. But nothing happened. The bright giant lighthouse beam had turned away from them. All was dark. The sea looked like a licorice stick, all twisted and curled around the rocks. The wind began to whistle around the car. The waves gathered strength and Auntie Jenny tried again. Come on, old thing, she said to the car, but still nothing happened. The waves began to crash over the rocks. The spray licked the car with an evil delight. Auntie Jenny found his tent torch. Thomas, I think the car's flat battery. Her voice sounded worried. She got out. Oh, what are we going to do? Then droplets of water ran slowly down inside the car. Thomas tried to look out the window. Oh, look, I see a ship. Come on, let's get those Morse code messages of Grandpa's. Maybe we could tap something out. Auntie Jenny had a go of SOS, but they waited. Nothing happened. The wind started to slap their faces. I think you better get back in the car, said Auntie Jenny. I'll lift the bonnet and see what I can do. Thomas didn't hesitate. He jumped back in the car, shut the door. Inside it was very misty now. So he ran his finger down, just like he would at home, to draw and paint, to take his mind off things. But as the water started to disappear, Thomas came eyeball to eyeball with a pair of dark, twinkling eyes. They blinked and a cat meowed.
Ahoy there, me shipmate. We saw your light a-flash and SOS. will have you afloat if my name's not Pirate Diamond Black.
The giant lighthouse beam swept across the car and the engine jumped into life. Auntie Jenny opened the door. Oh, Thomas said, did you see Diamond Black, the pirate? Did he save us?
Auntie Jenny smiled and laughed. I think it's time for a song. I think you've been reading too many books about pirates. And she started to say, I know a lighthouse as tall as can be. When it's all dark and lost at sea, the lighthouse will bring hope and rescue me.
Oh, Thomas was tired after his big adventure, and he yawned.
I don't think I will paint a lighthouse tomorrow. I think I might paint a pirate instead.
Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale. And thank you, Deluxe Steiner, for your support in bringing these wonderful stories to everyone today. Thank you.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.